Let's turn in our Bible this morning, and I know we a little shorter on time than maybe normal, but I want to try to give you an encouragement from the Word of God this morning. It is good to have everybody here. Good to see everybody smiling this morning, and it is a great day, isn't it? If you're a believer in Christ and know that Christ rose from the dead, He went to the cross for you, and that we, by our faith in Christ alone, we can know we have eternal life. What a blessing. But that's not only for the hereafter. You know, we can have a good life here. Doesn't mean we'll never have trials. Doesn't mean we'll never have troubles, never have temptations. But, you know, we can make it in life. And, boy, so important to be in church, have a church family. And I know a lot of folks in our church, several families, going through some difficult times with cancer, some other issues going on in life. Man, it's so good to have a church family that says we're praying for you. Can we help you? Can we be an encouragement, a blessing to you? And just, you know, takes that active role. And that's all part of being in the church family. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we got two places we're going to look at this morning. Read a few verses here. But about the resurrection. And chapter 15 really goes into the whole thing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, down at verse number 12 is where we'll start this morning. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say ye some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Well, we know there is a resurrection. He said, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Well, he's making this hypothetical explanation here. He said some people don't believe in the resurrection, but we know it's true. We know Christ is alive. The scriptures tell us that, and many people saw him. He says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Because he rose, when we have our faith in him, we know we will rise. Life does not end at the grave. Life is eternal. We are made in the image of God. We are eternal beings. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. We're only on this earth passing through as pilgrims. We're here for a little while, and then we move on either to heaven or the Bible says to hell. But look, if you will, over in 1 Peter chapter number 1, just three verses here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, down to verses 3, 4, and 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Means we were born again. Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He says in verse 3 that we are born again through faith in Jesus Christ, and we have a lively hope, a living hope. Now, it's not a dead hope. It's not a hope so. It's a real, sure, steadfast, living hope. We live with that hope, knowing that one day when this life is over, we're going to be with the Lord forever in heaven. And it repeats that so many times in the Bible. But you know, I thought about when Christ died on the cross. And you know, we have Good Friday and we know about Christ, and he was a sinless Son of God, born of the Virgin. And he lived his life and he taught. He was a good example. But he would go to the cross. And on that cross, the scriptures tell us that he suffered the penalty and the punishment for all of our sins and all of our transgressions. And again, sometimes me as a human being, it's hard to get a hold of. But he's God. And on the cross, he suffered my hell. Everything that I deserve for disobeying God, for breaking God's commandments, for attitude, for actions, for words, and we're all sinners. I don't think anybody here today would say, oh, I've never done anything wrong. Well, we're all sinners. God says that. But he suffered all that punishment. He shed his precious blood, and he died to pay the penalty for my sins. And praise God, he went to the grave, a barred tomb, we know. But you know, the disciples, when they saw that, they didn't quite understand it all. Because, think about it, they left their jobs, they left families to follow the Lord for some 3 years. And at his death on the cross, they were despondent. They didn't figure it all out. They didn't quite understand it. They were unsure. They wondered about the future. How's this all going to be? They put all their faith and life into Christ, and all of a sudden, it didn't work out the way they thought it was going to. They thought he was going to be an earthly king and rule over them and on earth and so forth, but he didn't come to be a king the first time. He will second time. But the first time, he came to be a savior. And so, when Jesus rose from the dead on that Sunday morning, and they went to the empty tomb, and the angel said, he's not here, he's risen, just like he said. And then it began to make sense of all the things that he had said unto them. And they were excited. They were awestruck. They were motivated to tell this gospel story, just like we should be. And these two passages tell us the importance of the resurrection. You see, for my first years of my Christian life, I thought the cross was just the most important thing. But I want to tell you, the cross of Christ without a resurrection would essentially be meaningless. Why? Because you would wonder, was Jesus just another good teacher or a good man that caused unrest in Israel and the Roman government put him to death on a cross and that was the end of it? Was he some religious zealot that they had come and gone and they had died and that was the end of it? No, Jesus conquered death, he conquered hell, and he conquered the grave. And because he was able to raise from the dead, we can know with assurance that God accepted his great sacrifice on the cross. You see, those disciples, you know, they were like us and say, well, how could mankind know and believe that Christ is really who he said he was and believe what he did for us without a resurrection? There would always be a question. There would always be a doubt. Just like so many other religions of the world, their leaders died and that was it. But Jesus rose from the dead. And we can understand the truth of the gospel. How could mankind know that Christ fully paid the price of sin and the penalty for sin? The resurrection shows that God was pleased with what Christ did and accepted that sacrifice, as it says in the scriptures. And then also, how could we know that everyone in this world, everyone, doesn't matter about nationality, doesn't matter about color, doesn't matter about language, doesn't matter about whatever, that Christ on the cross put every one of us in a position that we could be saved if we're willing to accept that gift of salvation? Well, we can understand that because Christ not only died on the cross, he rose again. And in his death and then in his life, he offers us eternal life. Now I'm going to give you five very brief evidences and truths about the resurrection and what it can mean to us today. The truth that Jesus lives and it not only affects our eternity, it affects our lives right today. Number one is because Jesus lives, we can know that Jesus was, is, and always will be the one and only Savior that God sent. Many different religions of the world, many peoples believe different things. But Jesus Christ is the very one and only Son of God. Jesus Christ is the one and only Lamb of God that was put on the cross to take away the sins of the world. And because he rose on that Sunday morning, we know that he lives and ever liveth and ascended back into heaven to be with God the Father, and we'll see him one day. All the other religious leaders, Muhammad, you know where he's at? He's still in the grave, and I think in hell. Buddha, where's he at? And fellow followers of him, where's the Buddha at? He's in a grave. He's dead. He could not conquer hell and death and the grave. But Jesus Christ did. And it proves that he is the one and only. Some people say there's many ways to get to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there's one and only. Jesus is the one mediator, the one way. The way, the truth, and the life to get into heaven. And we can understand that because Jesus is alive today. The others are still dead in their grave. Number two, because Jesus lives, we can daily live by faith in Christ, free from the burden, free from the penalty, free from the power of sin in our lives. Because Jesus Christ broke the bonds of death, hell, and the grave. And he gives us new life. When a person comes to Jesus Christ, and they come and they repent and turn from their sin and they turn to the Savior, there's a work that the Spirit of God does in their life. The Bible refers to it as we're born again by the Spirit of God. We have a new life. Oh, we still got the same physical life, but there's a new life. There's a newness of life. The Scripture says we're new creatures in Christ. Old things pass away. All things become new. We have a different way of looking at things, a different way of looking at people, a different way of looking at life. Because he lives, we're free from that burden of carrying those sins around. And you know, sin can be a burden. Praise God. You know, there's things in my life I regret doing, but praise God, they're under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I don't have to worry about them any further. Why? Because Christ rose from the dead. He set us free from the burden of, he set us free from the penalties. And we don't have to look for no condemnation in Jesus Christ. No, we've been set free from the penalty of sin. We've been set free from the power of sin. There was an old comedian years ago. He said, well, the devil made me do it. Well, no, we have a little bit to do with it too when we do things wrong, don't we? Yeah, we might be tempted. We might be in a situation that would tend us to do wrong, but we still make the choice, don't we? And praise God, we're set free from that power. We're not simply powerless anymore. We, through resurrection power of Jesus Christ, we can overcome any enemy that comes against us. We can overcome any habit that's got a hold of our life. I believe the Bible and Jesus Christ can set us free from addictions, physical addictions that people have, that sets us free from the times when temptation seem to overwhelm us. But praise God, we can overcome those things. We're overcomers in Christ. It says we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we have a living, all-powerful Lord and Christ in Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he lives. Third, because he lives, we know he is able to extend grace to every believer in every circumstance of life. I don't have to stand here and say to you this morning that there's troubles that come in life. I've had them. You've had them. Maybe by the score, maybe by the many. Maybe you're going through the deep valley of a life circumstance right now. Maybe finances, maybe health, maybe family problems. It can be all types of things in life. But you know, a believer in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that the living Savior in heaven now hears our prayers and can offer us the grace and strength to help make it through no matter what comes our way. Praise God for the grace of God. And if you're here today in the valley of life, when you're here today and say, I don't know which way to turn, I don't know what to do, I am in a hole so deep, praise God, there's a way out. And Jesus Christ can give you new life. He can give you a new direction. He can give you a new hope, a living hope, the Bible says, that you can have, that you can make it. He hears those prayers and extends grace to everyone that's willing to ask for help. The fourth thing is this morning. Because he lives, we can live without fear. Without fear. A lot of people are bound by fears in life. And you know, it's our old nature. It's, I think, society and what's going to happen. What's going to happen in D.C.? What's going to happen in the world? What's going to happen in the environment? Are we all going to die from smog and all? What's going to happen about North Korea and atomic war? All this stuff. There's a fear. And then there's a fear in our lives. Well, what's going to happen for older folks? Are we going to run out of money? What's going to happen with my health if it goes bad? Fears that abound in people's lives. fears that people have. But you know, Jesus said this, because I live, you can live without fear. He said, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and peace. He said, there's no fear. First, we don't have to worry about losing our salvation. If you're born again here today, praise God, it's a sure salvation. Amen. We might stumble and fall along the way, but he says he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We read in the scripture there in 1 Peter, he says, we have an inheritance reserved in heaven for us and we're kept by the power of God. Praise God, I don't have to keep it. He gave it to me and I accepted it. He's not taking it back. Praise God, we have a secure salvation. You don't have to worry about that, that we are secure in Jesus Christ. We don't have to have a fear about the future. Why? Because we know how it all turns out, folks. We know what happens in the days ahead. We know that we don't have to have a fear of death for the believer in Christ. You know, the Bible says, you know, the grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? And you know, there's this fear of the unknown and sometimes can creep in their mind. Well, what's going to happen after death? Praise God, we know. The Bible says, for the believer in Christ, we're absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. I'm of the belief, a Bible belief, that when a person dies and they close their eyes in death, it's like going to sleep at night and all of a sudden you wake up. Praise God, you lay down at night, you close your eyes in death, and you wake up, man, you're in glory. Amen. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But just the same, a person without Christ closes their eyes in death and wake up in hell. And I wouldn't want anybody to suffer that. How about you? But there is no fear. There is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. And I also believe that when we get to heaven as believers, Jesus isn't going to condemn us for all the mistakes we made down here. I tell you, that's not much of a heaven to me if I get up there and get scolded for everything I did wrong down here. We are going to be rewarded for all the good things we've done. We are going to be given crowns. We're going to be given rewards for all the good things that we've done in Jesus Christ up in heaven. Amen? Now, for a wrong life, mistakes that we made, especially as a believer, I think we lose rewards, but where there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Amen? So we don't have to fear. Heaven's going to be, some people say, man, I'm not right with the Lord. Well, get right. Amen. Look forward. The Lord's going to return. And it leads us to our last thing here. Because he lives, we're going to meet in the air, or we're going to meet on the portals of heaven a living Savior. Amen? He's not in the grave. He's a resurrected, powerful Lord of lords and King of kings. And we're going to meet him on heaven's shore. We're going to meet him as a Christian. It says in the rapture, we'll meet him in the air and ever be with the Lord. Amen. Why? Because he lives. He's not in a grave somewhere. That grave is empty. That grave only was there for a place for a few days. And Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And we celebrate Easter. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday. And it ought to bring us a joy in our life because Jesus Christ is alive and well this morning. And he offers salvation to all who will receive it today. And if you're here without Christ, oh, today, what a great day it would be. As the choir sang, Jesus saves. Always has and always will. And you say, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know what's going on in my life. Praise God. He's able to forgive it all. Yeah, you can put it all under the blood this morning. And if you're here today and maybe you've wandered from the Lord as a believer in Christ, why don't you come and just make a dedication of your life and say, you know, I need to get back going for the Lord again. Amen. And talking to him in prayer, reading his word, getting in the house of God, and just make that decision today that you're going to set your sights on living for the Lord Jesus Christ, a living Savior. Praise God today. God loves us so much, he sent his Son, and he died on the cross, but praise God, we celebrate he rose today. And you know what? Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. We can face life, whatever comes, because we have a living Savior. I'd like you to stand this morning. We're going to have an altar call, an old-fashioned altar call this morning. We're going to have an invitation, we call it, where you can respond.